Hey everybody, welcome to the first Now What community call of the new year. It is January 18th, 2010, and I hope you've had a good almost first 3 weeks of the year. This is Laura Berman-Fortgang speaking. I am the founder of Now What Coaching and an 18-year veteran in the field of coaching. Tonight's call, unlike some of the calls we had at the end of last year, it won't be a topic driven call. It's going to be an open forum, and it's intended for people who are in career transition or who are wondering about the Now What program or who are currently working on the Now What program, who want to ask questions about working with Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, which is the book it's all based on, or who have general questions about career transition stuff, things you're facing, maybe even thinking of starting a new business and taking those first steps towards your next step of whatever might be next for you. So all those things certainly belong on this call. But like I said, somewhat different than our previous calls in fall of 2009 when we were doing a topic. These are meant to be monthly calls, open Q&A, open coaching for people who are in transition. And it might serve some of you to email a question if you feel like you may not want to be on the spot, so to speak, on the call. So you can do that during any time during this call by emailing LBF, my initials, Laura Berman-Fortgang, L like Laura, B like boy, F like Frank, at intercoach.com, intercoach.com. And for those of you listening to this as a recording after the fact, that is the email you would send any questions to as well. So let me say a few words about what is Now What? What is the Now What program? What is Now What 90 Days to a New Life Direction? Like I said before, Now What 90 Days to a New Life Direction is the book that I wrote that came out in 2005 in response to the people that I've been working with post 9/11, a lot of people asking what else they might be meant to do, wanting to do something more meaningful, realizing that anything can happen at any moment and wanting to put back burner dreams on the front burner. And in the years since, it has also become a training program for coaches who are already trained as a coach but who want to deepen their specialty of career transition coaching. And our next session, Training Coaches, is in Portland on April 16th and 17th coming up. And if you are on this call, you could say, hey, can I still have the early bird special? And we'll say yes to you. And then the next one is in October in New York City. So Now What is also a training program for coaches, but the primary reason for this call is to work with the folks directly who are working with the program or are considering working with the program or who have those career transition concerns. And now I do want to say a couple more words about Now What. It is different than career counseling for sure. There's no testing. There's no proficiency testing. We've assumed you've taken your Myers-Briggs and all the other testings that you might have taken along the way. Now What is really a spiritual program in the sense that we don't look at your religious beliefs by any means, but we are getting to the deepest core of who you are and what you're here to give. And whether it means that you change careers radically and do something else, or you just bring more of yourself to the forefront at the job you're already in or the career you've already been invested in, we don't have an agenda as to how it works out. We just know and operate from the assumption, which really is more than assumption because we have proof that it's true, that career satisfaction doesn't come from what you do. Rather, it comes from who you get to be while you're doing it, meaning it's not your job title and everything else that comes with it that's going to make you happy. It's really who you get to be every day. Do you get to be all of yourself? Do you have to keep half of you at home and not bring that to work? We don't want that anymore. So this program, I think, is unique and different in the sense that we don't even look at your resume because the resume is only going to tell you the linear and logical things that you might do next. We're really trying to get deep into the heart of your life blueprint, which I sometimes call your DNA of your soul, which is going to put you on track to that which will make you happiest and most satisfied at work and hopefully make you good money as well. So philosophically, that's where the Now What program comes from. Some of you may or may not know that because there are many people who have been through the training program, there are a lot of coaches who deliver this, and we do have facilitators on our website, nowwhatcoaching.com, where you can find a facilitator that appeals to you. We also have many self-study options, home study options, so along with the book and the workbook, which we now have online that you can work yourself. That is our basic package. You also could be working with our deluxe home study kit, which allows you to have a 6-CD set that is as if I were instructing you through the whole thing. So it's not the book on tape. You've already read the book, you're doing the workbook, and you've got extra motivation and extra insight into how to do the program. So with all that said, I'm shortly going to open the line and get us started on what is up for you. So again, that email address, if you're not in the mood to speak up but want to do send a question, it's lbf@intercoach.com. All righty. So I'm going to unmute the line. So unmute yourself if you're someone who intended to speak. So what I'd love to know is there anyone on this call who is currently working with the Now What program or is working with a coach on the Now What program? Any of the above? Would someone step forward? Just tell us your name. I know we have over 100 people on this call tonight, so someone's got to be working with the Now What program.
Hi, this is Christine.
Hi, Christine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Albany, New York.
Ah.
And well, I was working with the Now What program, and then I stopped, and now I'm trying to get back to it. And one of the struggles that I had with it was, there were a couple of the exercises that I really struggled with, and I'm not sure if it was because I really didn't get them or if it was that I was being stubborn. So I admit that that's a possibility. But one of them was, you know, what do you hate?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really hate anything, so I had trouble with that one. And the other is your life story. I really struggled with the life story and, how much am I really supposed to look at, you know, when I was 5 years old or when I was 10 years old. And so I really struggled with that.
Well, great. Let's talk about both of those. I mean, you know, hate is a strong word, and I say that right away at the top of the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason for that question being there and that whole chapter being there is that most people, if they're very stuck, I mean, is that, you know, where were you in this, in reaching for this book? Were you, would you put yourself at really, really stuck in figuring out what to do next or just starting to dabble in what you might do next? Where were you in your journey?
I don't think I was really stuck at all. I was sort of in a place of real possibility. I like the work that I do, and I think I want to continue doing it. I also started my own coaching business a year or so ago and
mm-hmm.
got certified. And so I was sort of trying to get through it for more of who I get to be when I'm doing the work that I do, and also to use that with some of my coaching clients.
Okay, so you really weren't using it for yourself. You were
not so much.
All right, so it's good that you've made that distinction because it would make sense if some of it doesn't work for you if you're not using it really for you. You're just looking into it
mm-hmm.
as something you might use with clients. And it's exactly why we have a training program for it, is that, as someone who wants to be a practitioner with the work, it's not always so self-explanatory. But back to your two points that you bring up, the, you know, what do you hate piece is in there because most people who are very stuck are probably more likely to be able to tell you what is not working and what is grating on their nerves and what they might hate about their current situation more so than they can tell you what they want.
Right.
And especially when you have people say, I don't know what I want, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, like they almost think it's cute to not know. Everything you say you don't want will immediately reflect something you do want. So I can't stand my boss. Okay. So what kind of boss do you want? I want someone who respects me. Or I want someone who gives me credit for my ideas. So right from not liking this, we do see what you do want. So it immediately gets people unstuck because we're moving them from the very, very familiar pain to possibility right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the second portion of what you were up against with the life story was, in the training that we do, we show, and any clients who work with us, we give them a sample of a life story. It wasn't available at the time that the book went out, but they are usually done, as it says in the book, in a bullet point format, a lot of white space on the paper. It's not really supposed to be the novelette or the screenplay of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's like facts and feelings, facts and feelings. Like, fact, my grandmother died when I was 2. Feeling, I was devastated. I was afraid that every single person would disappear if I loved them. That's just an example that I'm throwing
mm-hmm.
out there. So the life story, most of the juice of the life story, most of what matters to the process of helping clients see where they got off track from their blueprint,
mm-hmm.
it comes in the early stages. It comes, you know, through 25 years old usually, and other things will show up after the fact as well. But a lot of the more formative things that are really part of your DNA are there early. So it is important for people to be sharing a lot of detail, but again, not in in a book writing format. It really has worked very well for it to be bullet points, to be succinct, for a lot of reasons. Easier to read, easier to digest, but also easier to catch the patterns that you're looking for as the chapter 4 in the life story
mm-hmm.
describes. You're looking at what are the patterns that you see, what is the driving motivator for people, and also are there any dreams that got interrupted? And all that is explained in chapter 4.
Right.
So does that help?
That does help, yes. Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
Still have snow in Albany?
A little bit. A little bit yesterday, and most of it melted today.
Yeah, it was warm in Jersey today, too. Well, I know we have people on the line from as far away as Ireland tonight. So does anyone
wow.
else have? Yeah. Anyone else have any
Laura,
questions?
Laura, this Laura?
Yes. I hear you. I did hear you. Are you still there? Did you press star 6 by accident? Unmute yourself on star 7. I lost him. Are you there? Okay. If he comes back, we will give him a front row seat. Anyone else have something they wanted to say?
Laura, this is Karen from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hi, Karen from Arizona.
How are you?
Good. What can I do for you?
Well, I had a question, because in your book, you talk about things that could actually stop, like a major thing going on in your life that could actually stop you from moving forward.
Yes.
So here's my question, because I am one that likes to be active and I like things to do. Unfortunately, we had a couple miscarriages in the past couple years, so obviously that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty big. So I guess my question is, I'm not in a job that I'm happy with, and for me, just to sit and try to get out of that is not enough. I'm a doer. I'm definitely a doer. I've always been a doer. So
mm-hmm.
I guess my question is to totally stop, because we have to go through a big process, and I'm not going to get into it over the phone. So it's going to be a while before this is all over with.
Right.
So, Does your book mean that, you know, I really should not be doing this, I cannot be doing anything to help move forward if a big event like this happens in somebody's life?
You know, it sounds like you said, you're not someone to sit still and you're someone to keep moving. So the answer is going to be individual to each person. I think what you're referring to is somewhere in chapter 1 or 2, where sometimes what is next for somebody isn't what they thought they came to the now what process for. So I know I give it an example in the book of somebody who was really here to figure out what they wanted to do next in their job, and she couldn't get past any of the exercises, was very, very stuck. And right away when we talked about, you know, what else is in the way that you haven't dealt with, it was a therapy issue that needed to be looked at. So when I say, you know, sometimes there's something else that's the next thing to deal with, it may be something like that, or it could be an addiction, or it could be something that, you know, is more in the way of you being clear and present to the process of figuring out what you want to do with your life. So I wouldn't put the whole pregnancy route as something that needs everything else needs to stop for, especially if it's going to make you feel better to be proactive and not be waiting just for this result in your life. Because although I haven't been through what you've been through, I can certainly say for the many people around me and in my life and clients who have had to deal with working harder at getting pregnant than some other people have to, that it can be something that takes over your whole life. But it sounds like for you, you'd like it just to be an also.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Because I'm not one just to sit back. I'm very much a go-getter.
Right.
So,
and
it kind of takes my mind off of the bad stuff because I'm looking forward to doing something to, like, meeting another dream.
Right, right. I realize this is a public forum, so I don't want to get too deeply into, you know, the issues around infertility. But, that you also have to ask yourself honest questions about your level of stress. And if, you know, will it stress you more or will it stress you less to be, just saying, okay, I'm going to deal with my work the way it is for now, or I need to be proactive now. You know, which will put you more at ease? And then I'd say that, you know, is a better landscape for the miraculous that you're trying to achieve in your body. And I say miraculous for anybody who's want to give birth in any way. Does that give you some things to think about?
It does. It helps a lot because, you know, I found it to be very useful and helpful even through a bad time I was going through. But then I got to chapter 2, and I kept going, and I know I would have to go back and revisit some of the exercises. I get that. But I found it very helpful. But it just stuck in my mind that saying, okay, you need to stop. And I remember in one example, a woman stopped for a whole year. I think you told her to come back a year later.
Well, that's just how long it took for her to deal with the issue.
Right, right, right. So that's great that I could still move forward. I was just, wondering of your insight into that, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, it was about, this program is about gaining clarity. And I'd say the first chapter is certainly about gaining a certain amount of order in your life in order to get clarity. You know, like just the way if you organize your desk, you've got more clarity about what the priorities are. You know, it's kind of that task-oriented reorganizing in Chapter 1. The only, caveat, the only warning that was there was just, sometimes it may be a bigger emotional issue that needs to be dealt with other than what do I have to, why can't I figure out what I want to do with my life? So it doesn't sound like what you're dealing with comes under that category. And I think Chapter 2, actually, ironically, where you stop, would actually be a great place for you to explore. It's called With Every Gain, There Is a Loss, because it's all about what you have to let go of, identity. And I've worked with many women who are planning their life as they're working to grow a child or they're pregnant and they're expecting. And the oddest thing is that, you can make all the plans you want, but the truth is you don't really know who you are until you get to the other side,
exactly.
Of it and you have a child in your life or you've decided that, we're going to move on without a child in our life. You really, there is no way to predict who you really be, but I think there's absolutely, no harm in continuing to explore the depths of who you are and what you want. And the thing about Chapter 2 is it's a lot about figuring out what are the outside pieces of me and what are the inside pieces of me, because often the outside is the part that we have a hard time letting go of in order to change to something else. So it actually might be a great place for you to explore on both the career and personal side.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. Good. This is exactly what I was hoping that this call would do, is I definitely want to hear, you know, where might you be stuck? You know, where did something not make sense in the program if you're working it? And then certainly if there are any questions that are, you know, more generally related, not just to the book, but about your situation, you know, we'll see what we can do. I did get an email question, so let's see. Okay. Let me see if I can take another call live, and I'll get to this question.
Laura?
No. Yes, who's this?
Hi, this is Jenna from suburban Philadelphia.
Hello.
Hi, and I literally just got your book a day or so ago, so I haven't really begun to work this at this program, but I'm very interested, and in fact, I'm thinking about seeking out some personal coaching, and I just wonder if you could comment on, and I don't know how general this is for the other folks on the phone, but I'm stuck in a number of places. Part of it is that I've been in the same career for actually 34 years, mm-hmm. and I feel sort of trapped in that career, which has suited me very well, and I've been very successful, and now I'm sort of trapped by a high salary and, you know, a narrow perspective on having done the same thing so many years. And I'm 62, but I have a lot of years left that I certainly will have to work and probably that I will want to work, but I'm very much looking for a new direction. And so I know that I have to determine that for myself, but how do you kind of, is it possible to make a radical change in direction and have other people be willing to accept it at my age?
Well, I'm only laughing not at you or at age or anything, but just looking at how many layers there are to your question.
There are many layers. I apologize.
There are. No apology necessary. I'm hearing many layers. Like, okay, in the lobby we have, you know, 34 years at one thing. Is there room to do something else? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
When it comes to age, you know, I mean, it's almost like a motto of the program that, you know, what's age? It's a state of mind. Some of the best careers have started later in life for people. I always love to use the example of Doris Roberts, who plays the mom in the Everyone Loves Raymond series that, you know, now in reruns. She just started acting, I think, till she was in her 60s, or she didn't become successful till she was in her 60s. Something along that line. Look up her story. And also what you said that was so interesting, you said what other people are gonna see or allow at my age? Is that how you phrased it?
Yeah, and I mean, I certainly know it's about a state of mind, and I certainly know that I am perfectly capable of reinventing myself. But people do look. I was in a meeting the other day with 12 of my clients, and not one of them was even 40, which was a little disconcerting, I must say. And it's how do other people, you know, if I suddenly go out into a completely new field of endeavor without this tremendous, I mean, I have this great armor of three decades of track record and great experience, and to move into something new and have people say, okay, here's somebody who's starting out and she's also older than my mother, mm-hmm. can be, you know, I'm just wondering how, really in a practical sense, how feasible that is, no matter how I can spin it in my own head.
Well, we can't tell the future together today, tonight, on this call. But I can tell you that. I mean, I came from the other side. I was, like, impossibly young to be doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you from my experience, it was only a problem as long as it was a problem for me.
Uh-huh.
And I really remember, like, the day that I decided I was equal. You know, like, I started saying to myself, expect equality. Oh, no, assume equality and respect seniority.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just assume I was an equal, but, you know, realize some people had been around longer than me. And when I changed inside of me, that's when it stopped being a problem, how young I was. But until then, believe me, it came up all the time. I would bring it up first. you know, to jump the gun. So, you know, is there ageism out there? Yeah, just like there's glass ceilings and, you know, still a certain amount of racism and whatever. But honestly, I just can't even buy into it being a reason to not do something. I think more of a trap, as you said, is your salary.
Yeah.
You know, how well did you save? How, you know, are you, you know, able to take a setback for a while as you try something new? And I guess more importantly, because right now we're speaking in generalities, specifically, you know, in your dreams, you would go from what to what? What are you doing now, and what would be your ideal?
That's where I'm struggling right now, is to try to figure out what that would be. I mean, I believe that I have a lot of transferable skills because I've been in a very successful business career for many years, so I can write and speak and put together presentations and research and do all these things. But trying to figure out where I could put it in a direction that would be more satisfying. Mm-hmm. And that's not so easy to do. But again, I just bought the book.
Well, I think it's, what made you pick up the book? You started thinking about it?
Yes, actually, I've been sort of thinking about career transition for a while, and I'm also a yoga teacher, and I was looking at your upcoming seminar at Kripalu, and I was thinking, oh, that sounds like something I could benefit from, and so I immediately dropped down the page and said, oh, she has a book, or she has more than one book.
Uh-huh.
Let me go out and buy the book, so you may meet me soon at Kripalu.
That would be great. Kripalu's beautiful in March. The lake was still frozen, but it was a hot weekend. It's springy. It was beautiful.
Oh, I love
but
it.
But I'd love to see you there. But I'll tell you that, you know, let me ask you one more question. Are you, where you work now, are you in some kind of corporate setup where, you know, there may be a retirement pension or?
No. I work in a consulting firm.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, all that stands between me and bag ladydom is what I've saved, my 401k, and I was a single mom for many years, so even though I do make a good income, I don't have as much as I would like as a cushion, and I have, so, you know, but again, we don't want to go into that on this call in terms of the details.
No, I was just looking to see if there was any golden parachute hanging out there for
but
you.
But in general, no, there is no such thing as a golden parachute. I'm on my
own.
And that does, you know, I have a little bit of, you know, handcuffs in that respect. Although I don't think, you know, it's not something I can't overcome. It's just a little bit of a hindrance, shall we say. But.
Well, you have all the concerns that anyone would have, and you took the first step. You picked up the book. So,
so
get cracking.
I'm looking forward to it.
Get cracking.
So.
Great. Thanks. Great. Well, you're in the right spot, and, you know, we can't answer all the questions tonight and give you the psychic version, but I can tell you that, you know, if it's knocking at your inner door, then something's calling you.
Yes.
And it's to be listened to, for sure.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to go to that email that we have now, and someone else talking about being stuck in the writing the significant events of your life. So I hope you heard my explanation because somebody did ask that question already. And it said, you know, there were so many things and taking the quiet time necessary to write it all down was difficult. And it is this exercise. I mean, I've had clients who take a month to get up the courage to sit down and write the life story. I don't know if it's because they think, well, it's tedious or they don't want to face or revisit some of the places in their story. But the life story, Chapter 4, and the purpose exercises in Chapter 5 are what I call the turnkeys to the Now What program. They really are what set you free to the other side of knowing what you want to do, having confirmation for what you are likely built to do, and that give the most momentum and energy towards your determination to make a change. So as hard as it is to sit down and look at it, bullet points, you know, you can do a couple of versions. It doesn't have to all be done in one day, but definitely do it. you wouldn't be the first person to, you know, struggle with sitting still and doing it. But again, you're not writing a novel. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even have to have grammatical syntax. It just has to be facts and feelings of the events of your life. And if you break it down into, you know, birth to age 6, elementary school, middle school, high school, the college years, whether you went to college or not, first work, you might find it a little easier to get through it. But absolutely, stick with it. Let's see, and the other half of that question was about someone who has 3 degrees, can't settle on which area to pursue in their career, and they have experience in all of the above, and is thinking of starting their own business, but which one to do? If I focus over here, and then I think about the other one I could be pursuing, you know, how do you pursue all of them? How do you figure out how to, you know, do one business while building another? And the final line was, I feel like I'm wasting all of my education and experience. So if this person does want to pipe up, do so now. If not, I'm just going to answer in generalities. First of all, let me say, you know, congratulations to you on your stamina and your passion for being able to pull out 3 degrees. That's fantastic. And you are speaking right to what I said towards the beginning of this call, how the Now What program, we don't really look at your resume, because your degrees, your resume, your credential is going to constrict you in a certain way. It's going to make you try to come up with a logical explanation for what you should be doing next based on what you've done before. And I want everyone who has a pile of education or experience in anything, that none of it is wasted. None of it. Even if you took one French class and walked away, that was not wasted. We're creative beings, and as we get interested in things, you know, you can be called a dilettante or a Renaissance man or whatever to be interested in too many things. But the truth is, you know, everything we do enriches us in some way. Even algebra, for goodness sake, taught us how to think, how to reason. So nothing is a waste. Nothing is a waste. Think of how many lawyers went to law school and then want nothing to do with law, okay? And their parents go, oh, we wasted all that money on law school. No, you didn't. You know, you taught this person how to reason, how to analyze, how to write, how to argue, how to create a case, a business case, or a legal case. So none of it is a waste. The hard part is, yes, if you're trying to, you know, pursue 2 careers at once or build a business while you're holding down a job, there really are so many hours, only so many hours in a day. And so simplifying is important. Delegating is important. If there's stuff in your household you can delegate, if you can even hire a high school kid to assist you in the area you're trying to build. What, you know, people always say, well, I'm not making money yet. I can't afford an assistant. And I always say, well, you know what? You really can't afford not to have an assistant, because that's how you're going to be freed up to have the time to do the things that only you can do. Now, for the people that are trying to build a business while hold a job, or find a new job while they have a job, or, you know, all that dual role kind of thing, one good piece of action a day towards the new thing will make you feel better than 3 actions every weekend or whenever you get around to it. So anyone who is similarly in this scenario, it's important to do one thing a day towards the dream. That's always what I say. Do one thing a day towards the dream. And do delve into the Now What program, the person who asked this question, and look at, I think maybe even you'd be great for chapter 2 in terms of mourning every loss, or looking at what you have to give up to gain the next thing. Because sometimes we become too identified with our training, or too identified with the degree, or, you know, even some people are too identified as one of their roles in life. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, I'm just a mom. I can't do anything else. I'm just a mom. So it's looking at those 3 degrees, looking at it in terms of, you know, what is the common thread, perhaps? How do all of them feed into each other? How do they make you a whole entity for this business that you want to start? And again, that's the best I can do in generalities, but thank you for your questions. Anyone who wants to ask anything on the call, whether it be about your scenario or about the material?
Laura, this is Greg. I started to ask a question earlier, then I got disconnected. I don't know if you heard any part of it.
No, we just heard a male voice come on and disappear, but you are welcome to step up to the plate. Hi, Greg.
All right, I'm back. Hi, okay. So I'm calling you from northern New Jersey. I actually got the I actually got the book a couple of months back, and I started to work through it, and like some others, I've hit a wall. But my question really is not as much about the content of the book, although perhaps you might be able to steer me to a chapter that might help me get a little unstuck. The challenge I've been having is, you know, my core competencies and what I've done in my career is pretty much in the sales and marketing, business development area. Mm-hmm. And I've been most recently in the healthcare, health insurance space, and I've been looking to make a change into a new industry. And I'm also questioning whether or not I want to continue down the sales marketing track or just utilize the skills that I've gained throughout my career into something else. But where I get stuck is basically between the industry and the functional expertise, because clearly I'm the type of person that at my deep level of my core values, I'm really interested in helping others, doing something that's for the betterment of, you know, of society. And
right.
I'm really wanting to find both an industry as well as a functional area that feels good. And sometimes I struggle with, well, maybe I can do something in my transferable skill set, and industry is not as important, but then I go back to my values, and that's where I get stumped. So I'm just wondering if you might have any suggestions, perhaps, as to how to better clarify for myself between the two.
Well, let me just take you back a sentence, because I was interested in what you said, that, you know, so your transferable skills, you look at that, and then you look at the industries, and then you go back to your values and go, nah. So what I'm missing a little bit of information there. Give me more. I understand
right.
what you're saying, that, you know, you don't want to sell, maybe you don't want to sell a product.
So the part, though, that I guess maybe that you're missing is that, right, is that for me, when I look at certain industries, I mean, for example, you know, I'm interested in the environmental sustainability area, and that
right.
makes a pretty decent impact in terms of, again, as society. I mean, it's something that the planet needs, et cetera, which feels a little bit more better and a little bit more in alignment with me
you're
as an
right.
individual.
Right.
But yet sometimes I think, well, maybe I can just provide myself in terms of what I do in a different industry that might end up feeling decent in that end. But I'm just trying to, I really want to get both. But sometimes getting both seems like...
Well, what I wonder is if there's some kind of collapse distinction in terms of, you know, sales and marketing aspect. How come that is distinct for you from a nonprofit or something with a cause to
mm-hmm.
it? Because let's say it was a nonprofit. They need people with huge sales ability and huge marketing ability, and it doesn't mean you're selling a product. It means you're selling their idea. You're fundraising. You're using that ability to connect with people and to understand that which you are selling. I mean, I know selling is a dirty word when it comes to nonprofit, but it's not. People with a cause are selling all the time. They're, you know, actually, I'm looking at a little statue of, do you know who Seth Godin is?
Yes.
Seth Godin is he's known as a marketing guru. He probably would hate that word. He had made up these little toys of him and the little action figure called the marketing guru, and he's sitting on my desk. So I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, you know, he would say, a cause or a movement, a tribe, as one of his books, recent books is called, is an idea and a person who connects other people to that idea. So when you say sales and marketing to me, I completely see it as not so much a function of a corporation trying to sell their products. I see it completely transferable to a cause or something that matters to you, but being that person who leads the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the nonprofit has to be yours to wrestle with. I'm just saying, you know, that's where those skills are completely transferable to a different world and to a different industry too. If you were to say, I want to stay within sales and marketing and corporations, you might work for a company that has sustainable practices, or that, who are the guys that make shoes, but another pair of shoes goes to kids in Panama or whatever, right? They're a
mm-hmm.
major corporation,
mm-hmm.
you know, but their value system matches yours.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's really about them trying.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that it's really about trying to target them the cause.
Yeah. So it sounds like either trying to find an existing industry or company that already operates with the values that you share, or that if you are thinking in the nonprofit world or a cause world, to see how the skill set you have is incredibly valuable. I just worked with somebody who has worked for some of the major television shows in both news and entertainment that you've seen, but I'm not going to mention, that just couldn't take the TV world anymore and really, really, really wanted to bring all of who she was to a cause or something that felt more meaningful to her, and, you know, thought it was an impossible switch because here I am, media, 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 you know, who's going to want me? And she was willing to take less money, obviously, to do it, but, you know, now has a great position in our nation's capital working for an organization that does good things, because who better than someone who knows TV and PR and media from the inside out?
Mm-hmm.
Who can sit on the other side of the desk now and get the message out?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what you're saying to me, too, in your sales capacity. So does that open some avenues of light for you?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. So,
is Pam with a question.
One second. I just want to summarize what everybody heard there. And I called it a collapse distinction. Like there was like a collapse between, you know, a skill set, an industry, and values. Like they were so distinct, or they were mushed up. You know, none. They actually have inroads to each other. So that's what I was trying to paint there. Okay, tell me your name again. I didn't hear it.
I'm Gail Ann. I'm from Morristown, and you have been an inspiration for me since your book came out. I was at the ICF meeting when you presented the book for the first time.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's
super.
A long time. So you have been a great inspiration for me. I'm a clinical social worker who has been focusing on career transition and using humor and imagination and intuition.
Mm.
And I this year started actually, it was the most scariest thing I ever did. I started teleseminars and everything, and have been very successful with it. But the reality is I can't go to the next level with my business unless I have product for back-of-the-room sales.
Uh-huh.
Because I've done the speaking. I also provide CEU programs and training for social workers nationwide. So at any rate, but without back-of-the-room sales, and I have been stuck with... You know, actually, I have some things half done. I have some old product that's in cassette form, and I have a video half done, because we ran into technical problems, and $3,000 later, and I now don't have the money I had before. I don't need to go into that. But
what's your question?
What I'm really saying is, I'm looking for the most cost effective and easy way. I don't know whether to try to tape teleseminars. I don't know. I need a product, and I need to know how I can do it the quickest and fastest way and still be, you know, I need to have product pronto is probably what I'm saying. And I've been stuck with it. So, in other words, not moving in one direction or another.
Okay. So, in the Now What program, this would be like the second half of the book for those of you that are listening, not specifically.
Because it's not about not knowing what. I know what, and
exactly,
I'm very passionate.
Exactly. So the second part of the book is like, okay, now you know, and what do we do about it? But actually, the book doesn't address, you know, these ins and outs of business exactly. I'm happy to give you advice right here now, but also want to let you know that I now have an ongoing program for business owners called the Prosperity Plan, and it's exactly what you're talking about, is how do we take a one, you know, hour for pay business and start creating passive income. So that's what you're talking about. And yes, in terms of products can be expensive to develop, but more and more nowadays they really don't have to be. So just to answer the question that you put forth, I'm talking to you right now on No Cost Conference. .com. And they have a beautiful clear line that you can record and then have an MP3 which someone can then put onto CDs for you, or you can sell as an, you know, online.
Right.
Create materials for it that go with it. And, you know, all your packaging really does not have to be that expensive. And I'd also recommend having someone transcribe the tape when you're done, so that there's also a written version of the product. Yeah, but don't do it. I mean, don't do it yourself if it's not something you'd like to do. There are people who will do this for you, and yes, you have to pay for it. But you know, the solopreneurs out there, all of you, it's about, you know, how you make more money as a solopreneur is to create passive streams of income, as we're demonstrating right here, but also to get the tedious tasks off your plate. That, you know, it's a catch-22. You're like, well, I have to have the money before I can pay somebody to do it. I better just do it myself. But there's room sometimes to say, okay, I'm worth investing in. You know, like you said, you did 3,000 on the video, and then you're like, no more, I can't invest anymore. So decide, you
well,
know,
no,
what
can... Well, no, it's technical problems, and it's not finished. So that's
right.
What happened. No.
Right.
So.
So in this case, you know, get someone to transcribe it for you. You'll create materials from that. NoCostConference.com or another online version of that. You know, they very clean recordings that can be used for duplication. And probably the easiest thing you can do is to hold a teleclass and record it and just have a muted line as much as possible of the call, so it gives you a nice, crisp, clear recording. Okay?
Okay, and then is that a workbook to go with it, or is it, you know, I mean, you're talking about probably selling that alone. I guess we're talking about levels of packaging, is like you talked about earlier when you came on.
Yeah, and that's a whole other conversation. So that's
I don't know what I could do tonight, but definitely right now.
Right, thank you. So certainly, you're thinking along the right track, and you know what I'm suggesting tonight is probably the easiest way you can get a product going quickly. It's
yes.
Recorded and, you know, and get it done. And a lot of people also like downloads. They don't necessarily need you to send them CDs. Right, people?
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for your question.
Well, thank you. And really, thank you for, because all along the years I've followed you, and I have been so inspired, and even showed up in Montclair a couple of times, and, you know. But anyway, I'm very much in your corner.
Thank you. And I'll be in Montclair more. keep your eye on the emails.
Okay, I will.
Thank you. Good luck with that. All right,
thank
I think
you
we can
so
take
much.
One more question tonight. Anybody? Let me see. I'll check the email while I'm waiting to see if anyone has anything else. Nope, nothing on email. Any other? It can be non-now what related questions while we have a couple minutes left, too, if there's anyone who has anything. Going. All right, so what I'm going to tell you about then is, let me, a couple of reminders. Oh, I have a special deal for you, and I forgot to tell you up front. Anyone who is considering or who is working with NowWhat, those of you like just got the book and you're going to start reading it, if there isn't an opportunity for you to work with one of our coaches or to get in with me, we also have the home study kit that I mentioned, which is you already got the book at home, you get online with the workbook, and then you get a set of instructional CDs to walk you through it. You always have these calls to come in and check on, and it's usually a $349 for the deluxe version. And I have a golden ticket for anyone listening to this recording and or who's here live. That golden ticket gives you $100 off. So for $249, you would get the whole instructional set, the book, the online workbook, the whole thing, including continuing to come to these calls so I can take care of you when I can. And how you get that is you go to nowwhatcoaching.com, and right on the front page we talk about our home study kits, so there's lots of little click points for where my home study kits. And when you go through the shopping cart, you want to put in your coupon code, and it's all uppercase. Golden Ticket, Golden Ticket, GoldenTicket, all in uppercase. That is your special coupon to get $100 off on that. And one more thing I want to make you aware of is that, what's that? Ooh, next week, January 26th, I am working with, I don't know how many people we have now, but it's not too huge. For 12 weeks, I'm doing a group coaching class for 12 weeks, calling the Best Year Ever teleclass. Everyone will have the Best Year Ever workbook, and it's just a good resource, the workbook, for getting clear on what you want to accomplish this year and getting it to happen. So those of you that are in the now what scenario, that might not be the best choice for you, but any of you on the other half of the now what scenario, like you know what to do and you're trying to put your action plan in place, that would be a great place for you to be. And let's see, do I have a coupon code for you on that? I don't, but it's 50% off right now. And then you would go to laurabermanfortgang.com/best-year.html, best-year.html, and we can play there. So I hope to see some of you real soon, either back on next month's community call or a bunch of stuff I'm doing in Montclair or around the country. And I know there's some people abroad who are listening in tonight. I say hello to you. Let's just take a moment all together to take a deep breath and know that we are really doing okay. There are some major things going on in the world, and we're pretty darn lucky to be able to be navel-gazing and figuring out what we want to do. Most of you sound like you are employed. And it's Martin Luther King's birthday, so peace out, people. And thanks so much for being here. I look forward to doing more of these. Thank you for your time. I'm Laura Berman-Fortgang, and this was our community call. See you next month. Bye, everybody. Thanks.